Oh, that was beautiful worship. Well, are you guys ready for God's word? Do you know where we're going to be today? Oh, good job. Who said that? Was that Kim? That was, all right. Give her the prize. We're going to be in Mark chapter 4 today. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. And I just have to say this, last week, what a beautiful message, wonderful message from Charlie. If you weren't here, I encourage you to go back and watch it on our YouTube or Facebook page. A powerful message that led into today. And, you know, the thing about Mark is we can spend years in the book of Mark. Right, Charlie? Years in the book of Mark. Even though it's so quick, it's moving, it's fast, there's so much to unpack in God's word in the book of Mark. And so today, we're going to be looking specifically at verses 21 through 25. Only four verses, but they're powerful. But in order to unpack where we're going, I'm just going to review where we were last week by reading Mark chapter 4, okay? Let's dive in together. Beginning at verse 1, it says, "Once again, Jesus began teaching by the lakeshore. A very large crowd soon gathered around him, so he got in the boat. Then he sat in the boat while all the people remained on the shore. He taught them by telling many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. He said, 'Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seed. As he scattered across his fields, some of the seed fell on footpath, and the birds came and they ate it. Other seed fell on shallow soil with underlying rock, and the seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But the plant soon wilted under the hot sun, and since it did not have deep roots, it died. Other seed fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants, so they produced no grain. Still, other seed fell on fertile soil, and they sprouted, grew, and produced a crop that was 30, 60, even 100 times as much as had been planted.' Then he said, 'Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand.' And later, when Jesus was alone with the 12 disciples and with the others who were gathered around, they asked him what the parables meant. And he replied, 'You are permitted to understand the secret of the kingdom of God. But I use parables for everything I say to outsiders so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. When they see what I do, they will learn nothing. When they hear what I say, they will not understand. Otherwise, they will turn to me and be forgiven.' And then Jesus said to them, 'If you can't understand the meaning of this parable, how will you understand all the other parables?' And the farmer plants seed by taking God's word to others. The seed that fell in the footpath represents those who hear the message only to have Satan cuss it once and take it away. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represents others who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life, the lure of wealth and the desire for other things, so no fruit is produced. And the seed that fell on good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, and 100 times as much as has been planted." And then we get to today's text. Verse 21, "Then Jesus asked them, 'Would anyone light a light or light a lamp and then put it under a basket or under a bed? Of course not. A lamp is placed on a stand where the light will shine. For everything that is hidden will eventually be brought into the open, and every secret will be brought to the light. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand.' And then he added, 'Pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given, and you will receive even more. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them.'" It's a weighty passage. So let's pray that God would bless his word this morning and open our ears so that we might hear. Will you pray with me? Father, we just come to you this morning, Lord God, first and foremost with humble hearts. I do, and I ask you, Lord, this morning that you would take this word, Lord, and may it be received by everyone that can hear. And not just let them hear it, Lord, but let it soak in, and may they bathe in it so that, Lord, today as they hear your word, Lord, they would understand what you are saying, not what we desire you to say, but what you are saying. And so this morning, Lord, I just pray, I become less first and you become more. I'm imperfect, Lord. But Lord, I just ask you this morning to use me for your kingdom purposes. Let me be your vessel. Speak through me. And Lord, I pray that every word I say this morning would be tested by every person in here against your word, so that they would go deeper, have greater understanding as they seek you in your word for themselves. And we pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus, and we all agreed and said, amen. Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, the Bible is not the light of the world, it is the light of the church. But the world does not read the Bible, the world reads, everybody point to yourself, Christians. I didn't see you guys pointing. I want to see, yeah, make sure we're all alive this morning. So he says, the world reads Christians, and he says, you are the light of the world. And so today, Jesus tells us this parable about a lamp and what it means for us and what it means when it regards to the kingdom. And for us to understand, listen to me this morning, this parable, we've got to understand the parable of the farmer that Charlie shared with us last week. Did a wonderful job bringing God's word. Jesus said this about the parable of the farmer in Mark chapter 4, verse 13. He said, if you can't understand the meaning of this parable, how will you understand the meaning of all the other parables? And so the parable of the farmer, what it does for us, listen, it sheds light on this parable of the light of the lamp that we're talking about this morning. So let's read again that parable of the lamp, just to make sure we're hearing. Is that okay? Verse 21, it says, then Jesus asked them, would anyone, how many of you do this at home, just by the way? You go home and you turn on the light and you're like, oh, it's too bright. And so you put it under the couch. Anybody do that? You know, or you're like, oh, it's too bright. I'm going to put it in the fridge. You know, no. So he says, would anyone take light a lamp and would they put it under a bed? Would they put it in a basket or under a basket? And he says, of course not. A lamp is placed on a stand somewhere high, somewhere where it's going to illuminate the room so that its light will shine. He says, for everything that is hidden will eventually be brought into the open, and every secret will be brought to light. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. And then he added, pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given and the more you will receive. Those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. You see how it ties in to the parable of the four soil? You know, that parable of the four soil that Charlie shared with us last week, he went through four different kinds of soil. Remember that the farmer threw the seed on it. And then what that does is it emphasizes the importance of, listen, a fruitful hearer. A fruitful hearer who is able to distinguish between bad soil and good soil. And so in today's parable, the parable of the lamp, what Jesus is doing is he's continuing the theme that he started in the parable of the farmer that we had last week. He is making it clear to you and to me that we've got to understand the parable of the farmer because that was key to the other parable that all the other parables that he's going to share in Mark. And we shouldn't think of these parables, the parable of the farmer and the soil and the parable of the lamp, as being disconnected because they're not disconnected. They are so connected. They're connected because they illustrate the point that Mark is trying to make, that Jesus is going to make everything very clear to those who are listening. Did you hear that? He's going to make his divine truth very clear to those that are listening. And the ones that are going, No, they're not going to get it. And so Jesus does something here. He has identified his disciples, the ones that are listening, as those who are both able to perceive this divine truth and equipped to proclaim that truth to others, to other people. And so now what he does is he gives us this parable of the lamp, and he's given it to us as an illustration of what the disciples, and who are disciples, by the way? I see a lot of pointing. That's good. You know, somebody might be pointing at somebody else, but you need to point at yourself too. We are disciples of Christ, right? So he's basically illustrating for us what we and those that were listening to him are supposed to do with that truth. He's saying this, and I'm going to paraphrase. If you have a hunger to learn from me, if you have a hunger to follow me, that demonstrates that you're on good ground. You're on good ground. And since you're on good ground, you know what you're going to do? You're going to produce a harvest from your life. And what he wants to do, Jesus wants to teach us about the impact of being good ground and how we can now, because we've been in good ground, be a lamp. And so there are four things I'm going to share with you this morning. So if you have a pen, paper handy, go ahead and begin to take notes, because I'm going to share with you four truths that come out of this passage today that we need to hear. Here's the first one. As a lamp, who's a lamp? Who? We are. Everybody raise your hand. As a lamp, you want your light to shine. That's truth number one. You want your life to shine. He said in verse 21, he said, would anyone light a lamp and then put it under a basket or under a bed? Of course not. A lamp is placed on a stand where its light will shine. That's you and me. Jesus is referring to this basic lamp. You know what a lamp looks like, right? We all have one at home, I hope. Hopefully it's not under the bed or under a basket or in the fridge or covered by a curtain, but it's somewhere where it's bringing light to your room, okay? But everyone has a basic lamp. But back then, what they had was kind of like it was a pitcher. It looked like a gravy bowl. Is what it looked like. And it was full of oil, and on the end it had a floating wick. And they would carry it around, or they would place it on a lampstand where it would be. And that's what would light the room. That's what it looked like. And to make the most of their light, they didn't put it under a bed. They didn't put it under a basket. They'd put it on a lampstand or some sort of, they would have a little shelf that would be protruding from the wall that they could put it on so that it would light the room. That's how it worked back then. No one would place a lamp under a basket. No one would place a lamp under a bed because it would hide the light of the lamp. And unfortunately, if we did that, then the light would not serve its purpose. Here's the point. Those of us who have received the light of the gospel, we're not supposed to hide it. We're not supposed to hide it. We're supposed to let it shine for other people to see. For other people to see. Throughout the Bible, light is used as kind of like an object lesson. We see it all throughout the Bible for a lot of things like truth, like holiness, like the spiritual life that we have in Jesus Christ, the gospel message, even Jesus himself. And again, the point is Jesus doesn't want you to hide what he has done in your life. That's it. He doesn't want you to hide what he has done in your life. The parable of the lamp tells us that we, you, me, everyone who is a Christ follower, we have an obligation. Since we have received the gospel, we're to live it out openly. We're supposed to share it with other people through how we live and what we say. How we live and what we say. Those who have been transformed by the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're supposed to demonstrate that truth to others. We are to be light to the world. We are to be Jesus's light. You know, Jesus really breaks this down a little further in Matthew chapter 5. He said, "You are the light of the world. You're like a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. And in the same way, let your good deeds, let your transformed life shine out for those to see so that everyone, here it is, will praise your Heavenly Father. Not you. Man, Paul's so good, man. He's all, no, I want you to look at me and I want you to go, man, God is good. Look what he has done in Paul. See the difference? God gets the praise. And so we're supposed to be open about our love for Jesus Christ. We're supposed to be open about our love for others. Jesus said those were the two greatest commandments. Remember that? Love your God, right? Remember he said, love your neighbor as you love yourself when he was asked? So be open about your love for Jesus. Be open about your love for others. Let Jesus, who lives on the outside, be seen on the inside, be seen on the outside. That's the secret. Your good deeds, those things are the light that God uses to cause others to praise him. So, man, go ahead and let your light shine. Go ahead and let it shine. Be patient when people are rude. Yes, that is so hard, I know. But be patient when people are rude. Be kind when other people are harsh. We understand, right? I got to work on that every day. Show love when others show hate. Right? Look at your spouse and tell you, say that. You hear what he's saying? Be calm when other people are filled with panic. Let your good deeds, let your transformed life shine out for others to see so that, guess what? Everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. You know, as a lamp, you want your light to shine for others to see. And I want you to think of it this way. You, hear me, you are a guiding light for others so that they might see Jesus. Think about it that way. You are a guiding light for others so that they might see Jesus. The second truth that comes out of this parable is, as a lamp, you reveal what is hidden. Verse 22, for everything that is hidden will eventually be brought into the open, and every secret will be brought to light. Some of you right now are going, uh-oh, right? But listen, what is hidden will eventually be brought into the open. What is secret will be brought into light. And you know what Jesus is referring to here? He's referring to two things, and I'm going to tell you what they are, okay? Two things. Number one, the first secret is that what is brought into the light is the kingdom of God. Amen. It's the kingdom of God. You know, Jesus mentioned the secret back in verse 11. You remember that last week? And then you remember, that's why I had to read today what Charlie shared last week, just to kind of step where we're going. Because back in verse 11, he brought up the secret of the kingdom of heaven. All right? And we look at this word secret last week through this wonderful, I keep on saying it, message that Charlie brought. It was very thoughtful, and the scripture was so illuminated for us. Okay, and he tackled some very hard things last week that we needed to hear. But let's review that again. The word secret, I'm going to slaughter the root word, but it's mysterion, here it is, can also be translated mystery. Mystery. So it refers to God's truth that was previously hidden, but now has been revealed. By definition, that word secret refers to something that's not properly understood, okay? So let's make it this way. So if it's a secret or a mystery because we don't understand it, that's why Jesus comes into the picture, right? You see, they still didn't get it. You remember when they came in and said, man, you know, you've come to do this. And Jesus said, no, I didn't come to abolish the law. I came to fulfill the law. You see, they didn't understand. And so Jesus had to come to give them a clear understanding, because for many years, we see this in the Old Testament, all they did was follow rules and regulations. Remember that? But they had no being. They had no relationship with God. They weren't being with God. They were just doing stuff. See the difference? And so Jesus had to come and reveal what was hidden so that they would fully understand. Some didn't get it, and some did. There's the parable of soil, right? So think about it this way. It's like when we're talking about the secrets or the mysteries of the universe. We're referring to things we don't understand, right? When you think about the universe and everything that's out there, some of us are going, it's just way too much out there because we don't have enough information. But as we get more information, as we gather more information, it becomes clearer. And so before Jesus, the kingdom of God wasn't very clear. It just wasn't very clear. We had some information, but we were limited by the Old Testament. But Jesus came, and then he makes the secret of the kingdom of God visible. He makes it where we can understand it. I got a little secret I want to tell you. And that's what we're supposed to do too. So when we get so caught up in, you're going to be mad at me for saying this, sacred cows, we get caught up in ceremony. We were talking about that before, weren't we, Steve? When we get caught up in doing things that people don't understand and it doesn't make Jesus clear, we are diluting the truth. It is our job to do exactly what Jesus did. He came to make it visible and clear for us to understand the secret of the kingdom of God. And as a lamp of God who lives by the kingdom truths, we share that kingdom truth with other people. We help God's kingdom be brought to light. There it is. That's what we're supposed to do. We help other people understand the gospel, God's truth, understand Jesus. God's secret about salvation will be brought to light as we stop trying to live for Jesus and instead let Jesus live his life through ours. I don't know about you. I got tired of living for Jesus a long time ago. It's hard. How many of you know what I'm talking about? It's just hard trying and trying and trying and trying. And I finally just said, what? And then I discovered, oh, all I got to do is stop trying and let Jesus live his life through me. Got a lot easier because our effort does not compare to what Jesus can do. Amen? So going back to that word secret, mysterium, it also means a valid but not commonly known truth. For example, when somebody talks about the secrets of a happy marriage, some of us go, what are you talking about? Right? You see, because they might be talking about something that is not a well-known truth that makes marriage successful. And so they laugh at you like, or whatever, you know? We just coexist. No, I hope you don't. But the same thing or the same truth can also apply to the secret of the kingdom of God. We go, what? Secret of the kingdom of God? I still haven't figured it out. I don't know what it is. Well, Jesus has come to make known a valid truth about salvation and eternal life that is not so well known to us. And again, that's what we're supposed to do too. You know, one of the things that we do with the church planners and when we're training, we always ask them to explain to us their gospel story, how they came to salvation. And you know, we don't do that because we're trying to trip them up. But if they can't articulate how they came to know Jesus Christ and what they believe, how are they going to share that with you? If they don't understand that, if it's still kind of a secret to them, you see what I'm saying? So we've got to be able to articulate those things because as a lamp of God, we are to make known the valid truth about Jesus, about his kingdom, about the gospel to those who don't know it so well or don't understand it. As God's lamp, everybody's a lamp. Everybody just kind of look like, make a lampshade. Do it with me, okay? As God's lamp, all right, good. We got some interaction this morning. There we go. We bring every secret to light when it comes to the kingdom of God. Amen? The second secret that we find in here that is brought to light are the sins of people. Now, some of you are going to go, yes, finally. I can point things out in other people. But listen to what Jesus said in verse 22. He says, everything that is hidden will eventually be brought into the open. Now, listen, I want to make this real clear. This doesn't mean that you're going around looking for other people's sin. Okay? Some of you like doing that. I want to say, stop doing that. That's not what we're doing, okay? We're not going around looking for other people's sin and putting on a spotlight saying, I got you, you know? It simply means that as you live your life for God, listen to me, as you share the gospel, as you give biblical counsel, which I hope you're doing, as you bless people in the name of Jesus, your good works, everything that you're doing as a result of Jesus living his life out through you will naturally expose the sin that's around you. And it will even expose the sin within you. That's okay. That's okay. You know, we do this assessment process with church planners. Kim's part of it, Charlie's part of it, and we go in, and when we talk about assessment, people get scared, right? I remember, Charlie, when we went through this, it was a scary process, wasn't it? Was Kim part of that, or was it just you? So, yeah, okay, so they back in the day, what they would do is they'd put you in a table, just like we have right here, and they'd sit across from you, right? And it felt like they had a light on you. And they're asking all these tough questions, almost making you go, do I really want to be a pastor? Do I really want to be a church planner? Do I want to do this? Because it was like you were in jail. I mean, that's what it felt like, okay? And so today, our process is so different. Today, you know what we do is, our motto is this, we want to be life-giving. We want to be so life-giving when we do our assessment process that what naturally may be hidden will be exposed in a loving way. And we're able to deal with it in a loving way. And there's sometimes when difficult things come out of those assessments, but you know what? The person doesn't go, or we're not going, we got you. Oh, finally. No, that's not what we're doing. Instead, we love them. And you know what? As a result of what we say, trusting the process, God is glorified in that. And we're able to address things in a godly way, in a loving way. So it's not to put people's sin on a spotlight and go, oh, we got you. But instead, it's that just when we're spending time with Jesus, when our lamp is shining the way that it should, when we're in God's word and our life speaks of Jesus and everything that we do, naturally the things that are wrong around us, the sin, will be exposed so that we can, with love, address it or help our brother or sister to come out of it. See the difference? I was having a conversation with a pastor this week. We were over lunch, and we were talking about how difficult sometimes it is in ministry because the church is the only entity that will kill its wounded. And we got to stop doing that. We got to be Christ. You got a problem with your brother or sister? Fix it. You can't be lamp. You can't be a lamp to the world if there's issues. You got something hidden in your life, admit it to your brother or sister or whoever is your accountability partner and pray through it, and may God do the work that only He can do. Sometimes we're doing things on our own, we can't. In Luke chapter 12, Luke breaks this down a little further. This is what he says, beware of the yeast of the Pharisee, beware of their hypocrisy. The time is coming when everything that is covered up will be revealed, and all that is secret will be made known to all. Whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have whispered behind closed doors will be shouted from the housetop for all to hear. And I remember when my kids, they were small, you know, and we lived in High Point. Our house in High Point was an old house, and old houses, they were all broken up. You know what I mean? You didn't have like this open floor plan that we have now. So we had like a living room in the front, dining room, and then you walk through this little galley kitchen to get to the den in the back. Then we had an upstairs, the bedroom here, bedroom there. It was just a mess, you know? And when they were small, the one thing that we loved doing that place, Sam, what was it? We loved to play hide and seek. Hide and seek. They'd count to 10, everybody run around the house doing their thing, you know? And when kids are small, they do really cute things, don't they? You know, I remember somebody behind the curtains and there's feet sticking out. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And you're like, I know where they are. Or they go jump in the bed and they throw the sheet over themselves and they're just like, they're not going to see me. You know, there's a big lump and you're like, well, I know that's them. You know, I know that's your feet behind the curtain there. Right? Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's funny. But that's exactly how we are with God when we hide our sin from Him. We think that we can hide sin from God. But yet we're like my son and daughter hiding behind the curtain with our feet sticking out. Sin, that lump in the bed, God knows. And this is what I'm telling you today through this passage right here. You know, it's best for us right now to do is to take the sheet off of our sin and reveal it now to God, admit it, confess, be made right, rather than stand before Him on the day of judgment. You see what I'm saying? It's better for us to uncover what is covered now than for God to pull the sheet back and expose us. I know that sounds harsh, but that's just truth. There's just something about this parable that reveals God's truth, his light, that is going to reveal sin. You see it in the parable of the farmer. And within time, as the gospel is being shared, the hard ground that we saw last week reveals itself. The shallow, rocky ground reveals itself. The worldly, thorny ground, it reveals itself. It all comes to light. The hidden reality of the heart is going to be made clear for all to see. So it's better for us to just uncover what is covered now than stand before God and he uncover it and expose us. And listen, I want to make real clear, you as a lamp doesn't expose sin. It just naturally reveals what's in the room. You know, when we go to Greensboro to do assessment, sometimes we'll stay at the Spring Hill Marriott, is that it? And really, they put us up in a really nice room. I mean, you walk in, you're like, wow, right? It's got a desk, got a couch. You're like, wow, this is like spiffy, man. I mean, this is nicer than my house, you know? But the only problem is the bed has this frame that sticks all the way around. I don't know if you ran into this problem, Charlie. I'd get out of bed and go, oh. Anybody ever do that before? And I'm like, oh, that hurts so bad, you know? And then you're stumbling to try to go wherever you're going. And I don't do that when I turn on the light, because I can see the obstacles. I can see what's going to hurt me. So the light naturally is going to reveal what's in the room. It's not going to point it out. It's going to naturally reveal it. It shows what's in the darkness. And as you live for God, as you share his word, sin will naturally be exposed. It will reveal what's in the darkness. And so as God's lamp, everybody, come on. As God's lamp, you reveal truth, and as a result, sin is revealed. Here's truth number three that we're going to get out of today. As a lamp, you must receive. You must receive in order to give. Oh, that's good, isn't it? You must receive. I'm going to give you a quick analogy. See these lights above us right here? How do they work? They receive electricity, right? And there's a switch that you turn on and it turns it on. But in order for them to power up and provide light for us, they have to receive some sort of current, some sort of power. In order for us to be the lamp of Jesus Christ, we've got to be connected to the source. We got to be connected to the source. So in order for us to receive from him and to be able to give, we got to be connected to the source. Look at what it says in verse 23. It says, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Then he added this. He said, pay close attention to what you hear. Because the closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given and you will receive even more. Let me give you two observations right here that are so important. Number one, Jesus is saying, pay attention to what you hear. He wants the truth that he's explaining right now to be established in your mind. He wants it to go here, and then he wants it to go here. They got to be connected, amen? He wanted them to understand these key truths about his kingdom. He wants to talk about it. And listen, let's talk about this word what for just a minute here. What? Okay? He says, pay attention to what you hear. It's important you listen to those who teach God's word clearly and faithfully. I hope that you believe that we do, because we try our hardest here to make sure we stay true to the word of God in everything that we do. You hear me say this, test us. If you ever hear me say something heretical, run. You don't hear that from most pastors, right? But if you hear us say something crazy, that's when you go, I'll see you later. You know, I'm going to find another church. And we encourage that. We need you to test us, okay? It's important that you read books that explain God's word, his truth accurately. That's important. This is the best source right here. I'll tell you that right now. But there are great commentaries. There are great books that are written out there that you can find that are going to even not break it down further, but give you context so you can look at it. It's also important you pay attention to what you hear, okay? Don't listen to just anyone. Be picky. Be fickle about it, okay? Find a good Bible teaching church. Hey, there's one right here. Amen. There you go. Get connected. Oh, this is going to rebuke some of you guys. Get connected in a small group. How many of you in a small group in this church? Raise your hand. How many of you love being part of a small group? Woo! We love it. I love the cupcakes too. No, man. If you're not part of a small group, you need to be part of one where we can we break down what we talk about every Sunday in our small groups even further. Selby, it's good, isn't it? Who else? You love it when we break these down further because, man, it's great to hear it, but sometimes we got to just dive in a little deeper. And I tell you what, our small groups, best compliments we get are they're the highlight of the week because we break down God's wording further than what we heard. We get greater understanding. And you know, sometimes we have God moments and we love to have God moments. Amen? Amen. So be part of a small group. There's my plug for it. Read good Christian books. Listen to good podcasts. There's a great podcast out there that someone in this church produces every week. It's our executive pastor, man, and he tears it up. You should be watching that podcast because he can give practical ways that you can follow Jesus every week. Charlie, I just gave you a shameless plug. I know you like that, right? And they're really good. Read the Bible. Listen, when you do all these wonderful things, pay close attention to what you hear. Because as you listen to God's word, man, I encourage you to get detail-oriented. Some of you, I see you right now taking notes. Amen! You're getting detail-oriented. Pay attention to what you hear in God's word. Number two, here's the other observation I see. This is so important. Jesus also says, pay attention to how you hear. And where do we see that? We see that in Luke. Thank God that we have the Gospels, right? And Luke tells us about the parable of the lamp. And he adds this, he says in Luke chapter 8, verse 18, he says, pay attention to how you hear. Here's a great illustration of that. Cookies. How many like cookies? Raise your hand. Love cookies, right? I don't need them, okay? But I love cookies. I love macadamia, white macadamia nut the best, just in case you want to get me some, okay? All right. But say you're going to go make cookies. Right? Everybody with me? Everybody making cookies. Getting your batter together. Everybody stir with me. Come on. We're stirring. We're making cookies. And it's important how you make cookies, right? Come on, stir with me. I'm serious. Come on, let's stir. Let's stir. I'm doing the work. You got to do it with me. All right? We're stirring. We're making cookies. And it's important that we make cookies the right way because there's a difference between salt and sugar. How many of you know that? Right? A big difference between salt and sugar. So if you put sugar in your cookies, they're going to taste pretty good, right? But if you put salt in your cookies, guess what's going to happen? Something horrible is going to happen, right? It's going to happen. So it's important. Listen, the analogy here is how you hear God's word makes a huge difference in the outcome of your life. Because what you put in is going to produce something good or bad. You with me? So how you hear God's word is going to make a big difference. You've got to pay attention to what God is actually saying and not what you want him to say. Because you may end up with salt in your cookies. And then Jesus said this. He said, the closer, everybody lean in. Come on, we're in there. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given, and you will receive even more. As God's lamp, Steve, I'm not having one of those moments. I know what I want to say. I'm just waiting on the Lord. As God's lamp, you've got to receive more oil to keep burning. You're going to have to receive more oil so that you can keep on burning brightly. And what Jesus is saying right here, man, he's saying, listen closely to my word. Listen closely to what I'm saying so that you can grow in understanding my understanding, not your understanding, my ways, not your ways, so that you can bring light to this world, that you can be a light to this world in a very dark place. In the world that we live in today, man, it's chaos. It's nuts. I look around, I'm going, what is wrong with the world? And I'm just reminded, we live in a Romans 1 world. They have been given over to a probate mind, a reprobate mind, haven't they? That's what's happened. And you know, what we tend to do is we tend to go, ooh, I better go do something else to stay away. We are supposed to be light. We're not supposed to shudder back and hide. We're supposed to be light. Not only will we be given more understanding, but we will receive even more than that. That's what he said in his word. And as you grow in your understanding, what's going to happen is you're going to experience more power to walk with God. Amen. More joy that comes from him while you're walking through life, through even difficult times. We all go through difficult times. More peace in the middle of your storm. More contentment, even when you lose everything that you have. But as God's light, you're bringing this kind of light into the room, the one that brings all those things, peace, joy, contentment, in spite of. And number four, as a lamp, you want your light to become brighter. As a lamp, you want your light to become brighter. Jesus said this in verse 25. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. I'm going to ask the team to come up, please. Come up. We're going to do a song before the end. Luke, in his version of the parable, which is still the word of God, he gives us a little more insight into what Jesus is saying. Luke tells us this. He says, but for those who are not listening, listen, even what they, everybody point to your brain, even some of you are, what? I'm kidding. Point to your brain. Even what they think they understand will be taken away from them. Even what they think. Remember the parable of the lamp? Remember the parable of the farmer? I've told you over and over again, they are connected. They are connected. When you connect the two, you know what happens? You realize that Jesus is referring, everybody listening? You're not gonna like what I'm about to say. He's referring to those who are falsely following. Carnal Christians, I'm just gonna say it. They're on rocky ground. They're on thorny ground. They claim to have this spiritual life, but in reality, they don't possess it. They don't know the truth. They don't know Jesus like they should. They're doing, but maybe they're not being. You see, there's a big difference. For a lot of us, we don't realize it. We can be pharisaical if we want to be. We can be just like the Sadducees. We can do exactly what they're doing. We could just do stuff, and say it's in the name of God, but not know Jesus. In Titus chapter 1, this is what it says. It says, they may profess they to know God, but through their works, they deny him. That's their life. That's what they're doing. And on that day of judgment, I got news for you. With no foundation, the house is going to come crashing down. And the walls come tumbling down. You know what I'm talking about. They're going to come down. Matthew chapter 7, this is what it says. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rain, the floods come, and the winds beat it against the house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. It's going down. In other words, for those who are not listening, even what they think, it's going to be taken away from them. I got to be careful what I say. Something I want to say, I'm going to say it. Listen, you want to be a person who is the lamp of God? Yes? Yeah? Then you need to be receiving from him so that you will be used by him. So that means we got to be in God's word. We got to be in fellowship, small group, large group, coffee, whatever we do. I encourage you, though, be part of a small group. If you're not part of one of our small groups, you need to be part of one of our small groups. We got one in Moorhead. We got one in Cedar Point. We got one on the island. And if we need to add another one, we will. We're supposed to be burning bright for him, too. I want to burn bright for him. Do you want to burn bright for him? It's not just my job to do it. It's all of ours. All of ours. Through your God-inspired, Jesus living his life out through you, driven life, you are supposed to be a shining light. It's like that song. No, everyone has thought, this little light of mine. We don't want a little light. This big light of mine. We're going to make up some new hymns, huh? I'm going to let it burn everybody around me. That doesn't have the same twist, does it? Sounds a little morbid. Maybe we'll just be a little easy on those lines. Charlie Aaron and I are trying to write a new hymnal book. He wrote a good one this morning. But we want our light to shine so other people will see it. Let me put it this way, so that they will see Jesus. Not us, but Jesus. So you, as a follower of Christ, you are a lamp of God. So stop putting yourself under a bed. Stop putting yourself in the closet. Stop hiding. Reveal what is around you and show people Jesus. Be a guiding light. You know that God wants to use you today? How many of you know that? He wants to use you right now. Be his lamp. Be his lamp. Bring light into every room that you walk into. May Jesus be seen. And as a result, not only will your life be changed, but so will the people around you. Be the light of Jesus. Father, I just thank you for this word, Lord. Just really plain and clear, I hope. This morning, I pray that we would take these four truths, Lord, that we would apply them to our lives. And Lord, that is even right in this moment, Lord, our light would begin to shine. Our light would begin to shine. And Lord, as a result of that, not only would our lives be changed, but every person around us, Lord. Oh, I just pray, Lord, you would do that work in all of us. We take this word that we're diving into deeper, Lord God, and, you know, Mark, it's easy to just be superficial with it, Lord, and more. I hope we're breaking it down even further so that we can apply this. Use it, Lord God, so that, Lord, even what we think won't be taken away from us, but instead we're listening more and more and more, and you're giving us more and more and more. And we're listening to what you're saying and not what we want you to what we want you to say, Lord. So I pray for every person, Lord, in this place, Lord. You're doing a work in their life. Oh, do the work, Lord. Listen, this morning, even no matter where you are, even in the middle of whatever storm you're facing right now in your life, listen to me. You can still be a light. You can still be a light to everyone around you. Now, whatever difficulty, whatever hardship, whatever trial, whatever's going on in your life right now, you can still be light. And as a result of that, you'll be able to find joy and contentment and fulfillment even when life is hard. So this morning, whatever is happening in your life, Jesus is still the light, and therefore you still can be light as well. Do that work in us, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name.